Welcome back to Mary and Andy Geek Out.
I like that little musical bit in that back.
Yes.
That was nice.
Thank you. This is our sixth episode of our podcast. We're returned back to Teen Titans for season two for the first three episodes of the season. Before we begin talking about it, I want to do a little bit of an update about where the podcast is being held. So now it's officially moved over to my website, unapologeticnerd.com. So now that's where it's being officially streamed. And now we have our own iTunes and Google Store account. But the whole thing is still under our Gmail, maryandandygeekout@gmail.com.
So are we uploading in the old place with this announcement?
No, I don't know.
Just kind of like edit it onto an older episode.
I'm not that tech savvy. Maybe I can do that. We'll see if I can do that.
We should hire Sam.
Yes, he'll know what to do. But anyway, so this is so we return now. So to Teen Titans, the three episodes are How Long Is Forever. This is the infamous Starfire goes to the future episode and sees that the Titans have basically fallen apart and not doing so hot.
Okay, the second episode of season two is Every Dog Has Its Day, and that's where Beast Boy gets kidnapped being mistaken for a green dog.
Yeah, and then the third episode is just simply titled Terra, and that's when we first get introduced to our Yellow Ranger. So let's talk about... You're laughing up.
She's clearly a Green Ranger, right? If we're going Power Ranger.
I guess so.
Logic. I know you wanted it because she's yellow.
Yes. They all have their different colors. It fits. That's one of the reasons why I wanted her to be a Teen Titan.
I don't know if you noticed, but in the credits, Starfire gets the yellow.
No, she gets orange. She gets orange, I swear.
Okay.
We're going to watch this next time.
And then Goldenrod, maybe.
Yes.
So let's yellow.
Yes. Let's talk about How Long Is Forever. Would you like to start, Mary?
All right. Well, this is kind of a bummer to start the season off with. I mean, I guess Teen Titans never wants to take itself too seriously, but at the same time, they want to let you know that it's going to be dark. So I guess this was a good way to start. They fight a villain. What was his name? Warp. Warp, whose whole shtick, I guess, is traveling through time and stealing shit.
Yeah, and if I may go back to your first comment, it is a very odd episode to begin for season two. I expected this to be somewhere in the middle of season two, and not to set it right off to begin with.
And as time travel always does, it raises so many questions about everything that comes before and after. Mostly after.
Yeah, it's probably for the best that they did this at the first episode of season two, maybe. I don't know.
So we could get distracted by everything else?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions, like you said, that is raised up about what exactly happened in between Starfire leaving the past and arriving in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But you brought up a very good one. Good point.
Yeah, if the Teen Titans disbanded because Starfire left, doesn't that mean that the Raven / Trigon apocalypse would have happened and not been stopped?
Yeah, or did the Brotherhood still happen anyway? Did they
basically still... all the season's big bads, did they get to go through with their plans, or did some other heroes step in?
Right. It's kind of like shoot away at the end, because Warp tells Starfire in the middle of the episode, saying the history is a constant stream, because he went back from the future 100 years in the future to steal an object, and his whole philosophy is that this object disappeared in time because I went back and stole it, because history said I did.
Yes.
And so Starfire took that to heart and assumed everything is constant. But the fact
and assumed that the villain was both right and telling her the truth.
Yeah. Warp's just a very, he's a very interesting villain. But before I go talk to him a little bit further, she managed to steal the priceless clock or whatever it was back from him, showing that history does change, which kind of like, and you don't have to worry about what else happened in between Starfire leaving and going 20 years in the future.
But we do!
You know, it honestly reminds me of, this is going to be really geeky, and I can only... I know, right? Okay, so I haven't seen Dragon Ball Super, and so I can't comment on that. But I do know in one of the video games, Trunks comes back in time again, mm-hmm. because Majin Buu is awakened in his timeline by Babidi. And so he goes back in time to...
God, that anime is such gibberish sometimes. Yeah.
And this was in the video game, too. So this was in one of the video games. So it just kind of like... It's so weird, because in that version...
See, at least Dragon Ball Z has a very, like, set... It branches off, like it splits.
Yeah.
So anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're actually pretty good with their time travel.
For the most part, it gets kind of headachey, but...
Yeah, well, it always does.
I mean, it's, they are odd. But I kind of walked over you for Warp. What were you going to say about him?
Oh, I was just sort of summarizing. So yeah. I wasn't saying anything. I think Warp himself is kind of boring.
Yeah, he doesn't even have, like, any, personal connection to the Titans. He's just a thief.
He's read about them.
Yeah, he's read about them.
And apparently how they broke up because he accidentally took one of their teammates into the future. Did he read that? Probably could have mentioned that to Starfire if he did.
Yes. So he doesn't really have any strong connection with the Titans at all.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. He's an okay villain.
Because he sure thought he was going to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that should have been the first, like, hint to Starfire that she shouldn't listen to him.
Yeah. And
the second one is he's a villain.
Exactly. Should we talk about what happened to the Titans while...
Yeah, okay, but before we proceed, I just want to point out that the museum was just the museum.
Yeah.
Not of anything.
It's just...
I think that must be, like, common in the DC universe, where they're like, well, like, it's not necessarily natural history, but I don't know what it is, so let's just... It's a thing. Museum.
It's a museum, which changed in the future to be, like, the Metro Art...
I don't remember.
I can't remember.
You should have written it down.
Yeah. Whatever.
Okay. Oh, before... Oh, right. That's kind of important, too, to the plot. Before we get to this, Starfire's trying to celebrate alien Christmas with everybody, but everybody's all mad at each other. And I just want to point out... Okay, so Cyborg and Beast Boy are raging over video games. Raven's trying to read, which is kind of sweet, because she's deciding to read in a room with all her friends, but is getting annoyed about everybody making noise. Robin is listening to really mad loud music and just sort of staring at the boombox. And at one point, he yells that somebody's interrupting his work.
Yeah. Robin was being
I want to say the Robin that's just sort of glaring into a boombox really sort of echoes, like, what they'd end up doing with him in Teen Titans Go.
What do you mean?
It's just really ridiculous. And I don't know. I don't know what I mean. I don't watch enough Teen Titans Go.
It flanderizes his character, you mean? Like, it very exaggerates him?
Yeah, it's just a weird, ludicrous, like, quote-unquote teenager thing to do.
Mm.
That makes no sense. Like, yeah. For the character, for the context, for anything. I think he's appreciating the base, maybe. But it's also work, so maybe it helps him think. I don't know, I'm wandering off there.
His room, though.
They all could do everything in their room except for the video games.
Yeah. And even then.
Yeah. Anyway.
But it is a very amusing scene. They just had to force everyone to get together and just be so annoyed with each other. And it could have been very easily solved by just doing their things elsewhere in the tower.
Most of it.
Yeah.
Other than Cyborg and Beast Boy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Starfire being sweet is the center of the episode.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, now we can move on. No, unless we want to talk more about Alien Christmas, but there's not much to say. It's a friendship celebration.
Friendship is magic. Yeah, so let's talk about 20 years in the future. We got the four Titans. First one that Starfire meets is a very chill cyborg.
Who's stuck at the tower.
Stuck at the tower. Apparently his machinery is out of date. He can no longer keep himself updated or in high, I don't know.
Which raises the first question, is Cyborg has no other friends?
Yeah, or at least he doesn't have his dad.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting questions that are uncomfortable to think about.
Basically, the show is what the future would be like if Starfire was gone and the Titans existed in a vacuum.
Yeah, and they had no one else to help them out with, pretty much.
Yeah, that's what I mean by vacuum. Yeah. Like, it's just them.
Yeah.
Nothing else, no other villains, no other heroes.
And this is a very, I don't know if I mentioned this, but this is a very chill cyborg, too.
Yeah.
So.
Less, he doesn't have enough energy in his battery to booyah.
Oh, yeah. He's very, that's a good point. I never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So that was Cyborg. The next person she meets is an aged, balding Beast Boy. Who is out of the four, is probably the most, like, depressing.
Yeah. For one thing, he's bald.
Yeah.
Cyborg looked good.
Yeah. But, like, you can have good-looking bald men.
True. He should have shaved.
Yeah. Like, and he just kind of let himself go in the tummy area. But also, like, what's interesting is that because we've been talking so in-depth about Beast Boy, and this next episode will go more into it, his fragile ego kind of really comes to the forefront in this future. And without the friends to support him, he kind of just finds some sort of protection.
He's probably the most believable. Like, if he lost his friends, he'd probably take it really, really personally. And would kind of isolate himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, he's just performing tricks for some people.
I also want to say this was, this is the one that made me realize the voice actors aren't that great, because they are trying to do grown-up.
Yeah.
And Beast Boy, that pretty much just means getting rid of that little squeak in his voice.
Mm.
And that's it. He doesn't have a deeper, this is 20 years later, by the way.
Yeah.
They should all be in their 30s.
Yeah, and it's funny because Cyborg and BB look more like they're in their 50s, in all honesty.
God.
Like, they did not age well at all.
Yeah.
Like,
see,
and then
I gotta say,
Nightwing looks more like he's in his 20s and his 30s, too.
Yeah.
And then Raven, we barely get to see her. She kind of looks 30s, I guess.
Yeah, she's all cowled.
Yeah.
She's in white, which is kind of a foreshadow.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I want to say, if I were in Beast Boy's position and felt like I had nothing and just turned into an animal and run away, I wouldn't try to do a one-man show for a bunch of ungrateful people that apparently don't pay him.
Well, at least he gets food, maybe?
I don't know. Anyway, he's a one-man zoo.
Yeah.
And
he's not real, he doesn't have a good agent for the most part.
Also, this future takes place during winter.
Yeah.
It's to make everything extra grim.
Yeah, it's kind of hinted that it's kind of post-apocalyptic, but
it is?
To me, it seemed like it, but
please, elaborate.
I don't know, mainly because of winter scene. You know, like kind of post-nuclear winter or whatever.
No, I think they just made it winter to make it sad.
And that's
also, the Titan's Tower is all derelict, so I guess that could give you...
That's probably what I was thinking. Yeah. Then.
And they have, like, a cute reference to The Dark Knight Returns future, because they got, like, those punks with the red glasses and the spike mohawks, except they're actual spikes.
Yes.
Which also kind of sets, almost, but not quite sets it in the same universe as the animated series, because in Batman Beyond, it draws from that. Anyway.
Yeah. There are some similarities to that. It's just this world's just depressing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of the four, Nightwing via Robin is the one that adjusted the best out of the four.
Yeah, well,
quote unquote,
adjusted. He had Batman. He had for sure a support network. That was the thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, we can't pretend Batman doesn't exist. We can pretend the Doom Patrol doesn't exist. We can pretend Cyborg's dad doesn't exist. But there is no denying Batman.
Yeah, exactly. So, so he definitely, he looks good, he's still confident, he's just by himself now.
Yeah, which he's a loner, like Batman.
Which makes that scene in the end where he summons everyone to help him out, that much more bittersweet, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, it makes it sound like it should be triumphant, but instead it just comes off more.
We skipped over Raven a little.
Okay, did you want to talk about her?
Okay, she's in a bare white room, she's dressed in white, and she is having hallucinations and doesn't think Starfire is real. And Starfire is like, not having friends made you go crazy, which, come on, Starfire.
Well, Starfire is just naive like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not much else to Raven's future, because we barely know anything else about her.
Like, I feel like the white outfit sort of implies that something did happen Trigon-wise. Maybe she, like, took care of it on her own.
Mm-hmm. That might be fair, and that's why she locked herself up, because it's just had a...
really traumatic.
Yeah, severe effect on her psyche that...
Yeah.
Their lack of friends haven't gotten her through it. Which we may come back to. If we remember to, we can come back to this when we're watching her arc in season 4. But it is interesting to think about while you're rewatching this series.
Shrug.
Yes.
Okay.
Anything else?
It is weird how game Robin seemed to, like, regroup everybody.
Well, I think when he saw Starfire, he got nostalgic.
That's probably it.
And I think it kind of triggered everyone else's nostalgia for
it. I can't help but feel angry at Robin, because he was the only one who had it together, so it was kind of his responsibility to reach out to his friends, who were all clearly suffering.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, Robin's kind of a dick, actually. You don't think he would stop by and help Cyborg out?
Yeah, at the very least he'd do that Batman thing where he's, like, checking up on them. And if he saw that happening to them, like, maybe he decided there wasn't anything he could do for Raven. He probably tried, but...
Yeah. Maybe...
God, he could have definitely done something for Cyborg.
Yeah, or he could have, like, given some support for Beast Boy and make him... Maybe actually live in an island, tropical island, or something like that.
Anyway, I don't like the thesis of this episode is everything falls apart without Starfire.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that she's the heart of the team, and that's kind of important, but at the same time, it doesn't mean they're heartless without her, you know?
If I may add a counterpoint, not really a counterpoint, but maybe a suggestion, a different way they could have done it, is the Justice Lords.
Oh, yeah.
Because when Flash died, it was implied he was kind of the moral heart of the team. And it's even kind of implied, we even see it in action, because he prevents Wonder Woman from killing Toyman when Toyman, quote-unquote, kills Superman.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that would have been a really cool future that I would have loved to see, is that...
Evil Titans?
She goes in the future, and it's, evil controlling Titans that... don't want to lose another ally or friend and have become hyper vigilant against any sort of crime.
That would only work if Starfire was absolutely killed.
Yeah.
Flash was executed on TV. Starfire fell into a wormhole and they're like...
Yeah, they kind of just... That's true. They kind of
They wouldn't even have a funeral for her, you know?
Yeah.
Because they'd always be kind of hoping.
They may have been... thinking, well, like, now she's 100 years in the future.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
I would like to see that episode.
Yeah. It is kind of interesting how they just kind of quickly fell apart without Starfire, though.
Yeah. A huge bummer, too.
It is a huge bummer.
God damn, you guys. Keep it together.
This is such an... this is such an interesting episode to begin season 2, like we said.
Okay.
Next episode?
Sure. I do want to say, that, like, Starfire, like, puts the stolen thing back and she's like, time can be rewritten. And we just assume, like, it gets stolen the next day.
Yeah, right. That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 2, every dog has its day.
Boop.
So.
Oh, sorry. One more thing. Warp got turned into a baby.
Oh, yeah.
And then left in a time that might have been rewritten.
Yeah.
Dude's super gone.
Yeah.
Super erased from the time stream.
I should mention that de-aging terrifies me.
More than aging?
No, just to see that kind of process of reverting backwards. Like, that's just...
Puberty in reverse.
It's just something that just, like, seems like a loss of identity to me. And a loss of consciousness and helplessness to it.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a terrifying scene in Batman Beyond where he fights this computer program or this guy or whatever, and he accidentally de-ages him, and you hear him, like, kind of react to it. Uh-huh. And then, like, one of the last things he says is saying mama as a kid.
Yeah, okay,
and
that is pretty.
And then it's gone.
Ugh.
And it's just like, ugh. And then seeing that when I was like 12 or 10 or whatever, I'm just like, that just haunted me ever since. So it's just like, ugh. So, anyway.
It's good to know your fears so we can exploit them somehow.
Yes, somehow. But yeah.
Can you like shave you while you're sleeping and like, oh, look, you're de-aging.
Let's move on.
All right. Every dog has its day.
So yeah. This was, rewatching this episode, I'm like, oh yeah, this episode.
Yeah.
This episode's not that good.
Yes, I remembered not caring too much about it. It was actually better than I remembered. Largely for the end. There was... I'm just looking at my notes here. Gratuitous blushing. Like, for some reason, like, every time, like, a character was nervous, they blushed.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, I think scared in some cases. Like, not like, just embarrassed, but just when they were expressing a concern.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It was weird, yeah. This episode definitely went off a different way.
Yeah. Alright, anyway. So, this is another Beast Boy-centric episode.
This is, like, only our third Beast Boy episode, I guess.
Yeah. But it's another one that's dealing with his, what's that word?
His self-conscious. Insecurities. Insecurity, yeah.
Yeah, and in this case, it's partly because all his friends are doing stuff on their own and don't want to hang out with them.
Yeah.
Which gives us this really cute thing where Raven and Starfire are hanging out together trying to commune with spirits.
Which I like because it's definitely kind of building off of their switched episode.
Yeah.
Like, they're actually trying to...
hang out and hang do spooky things.
And, like, yeah, and do things together. So I like that.
Still want that mall episode, though.
Yeah.
That also gave us the Titans Tower lobby, which existed mostly, I think, just to show that Beast Boy was alone, because it's, like, this room that appears to be, like, right by the entrance. It's just, like, 8 armchairs facing each other.
Yeah.
And I guess it's a waiting room?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, there's so many things about it. Like, I just don't get it.
Hmm.
And then he gets kidnapped by this alien that looks like an Easter Island head called Soto.
Yes.
And then Soto... What?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. Soto gets, chains him up. And basically he commands him to transform to any animal that he can.
Yeah.
And Beast Boy's getting pretty sick of his shit.
Soto's whole thing is being a toddler. Like, he seems to be an adult of his species, but he's, like, easily amused. The controls of his ship are done up like children's toys, like little keyboards and little colorful
buttons
things.
And
things
like that.
And he cries.
He reminds me, I don't know
when
who
he doesn't
the character
get his way.
Was. Uh-huh. I mean, this is Warner Brothers, Time Warner or whatever. It kind of reminds me in a kind of a jump here, like that one Looney Tunes character who's like, I will pet you and I will feed you and I will name you George. You know who I'm talking about? Like the big beefy dude that's really dumb but just wants to have pets or whatever.
Are you sure you're not thinking of...
No, this was actual Looney Tunes too.
Yeah, I will name they you George.
They parodied that.
Yes.
They parodied that.
Because I'm only thinking of Elmira when you say I'm going
right.
to...
Right. Yeah. But I can understand
I believe
that.
You, but I can't think of the character.
Yeah. So watching those scenes is always so just like, ugh. Just
yeah.
like demoralizing because Beast Boy technically didn't get out of the situation by himself. He didn't use his wits or his charm
yes.
or his powers. He had to have help from
although kind the of the point of the show was to show that everybody loved him and missed him.
I guess that's true.
Although, yeah, there wasn't too much of that. Like, God, I hope Beast Boy's okay. It was just like, let's catch this dog and maybe it'll lead us to Beast Boy. Anyway, there's an alien dog.
Mm-hmm.
It's green. And it really likes licking Raven.
That was kind of...
It was weird when we... they first find the dog. They think it's Beast Boy.
Yeah.
It jumps on Raven and starts licking her. And that's not their first hint that it's Beast Boy.
Right. Raven... So
apparently this has happened before.
Raven's kind of like... Seems more surprised than annoyed or disgusted that this dog that she thinks is Beast Boy is licking her face.
Yes.
And it's just like... All righty then.
Maybe I'm a little biased, but I can imagine Raven and Beast Boy's relationship involves just boundaries are gone in a lot of cases.
She does.
Like, he probably...
She does injure him a lot.
And he probably harasses her a lot.
It's a good relationship. Which, speaking of which, there's a line when they're trying to catch the dog and they use Raven as bait. And, man, my voice, I'm losing my voice. And she goes, here, doggy, doggy. And she's looking very...
She like, has her, like, eyes looking, like, rolled way back while she's doing this.
She's looking very unsure. She does not like any of this. And that was a funny scene. And then they finally capture the alien dog in this, like, bubble ball thing. Glass ball. And then it finally starts talking to him in this Mr. Peabody-like voice, which is pretty amazing. The dog definitely makes the episode a little bit better.
Yes. I just want to roll it back to earlier. Beast Boy, after being snubbed by all his friends, tries to pick up random friends in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he says to impress some girls is that he's saving up for a moped. Which, you know, he actually does end up getting in later in the series.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Continuity.
Yeah. I mean, other than, you know, the major villain continuity. But, yeah, I thought that was a cute touch. I'm glad he gets... And, like, knowing that does make the episode better because it's like, you'll get that moped Beast Boy.
You'll get it one day.
Anyway, the Titans finally... stop Beast Boy from getting taken off planet. They beat the guy, and then the dog's like, yeah, I'm not going to be your dog anymore to this oversized toddler. And the oversized toddler, Soto, is like, okay, I'll be your dog this time. And that's how we get our happy ending, because the dog's like, sure, that's not weird.
Yeah, and then Cyborg goes like, no, it's somebody... Somebody says, like, all right, that's weird, or something like that. I can't remember, but Cyborg...
They all are staring.
Yeah. Cyborg, sometime in the middle of the episode, goes...
Oh, it's... Okay. So, they think the dog's still Beast Boy at this point. And they chase it into an alley. Its tongue stretches out, it licks Raven, it jumps into a sewer grate, turns into an amorphous blob, and it's gone.
Yeah. And that's when Cyborg goes, okay...
Cyborg speak, it's more like, okay.
Yeah, it was pretty
We'll play
funny.
The clip instead of trying to do our impression.
Hopefully I can find the clip, because it was a really funny delivery on his part.
We've got him. We just have to figure out how he can lead us to the spaceship. I can run a chemical analysis on his fur, see where he's been.
I can do a molecular scan. Maybe he and the ship have the same isotopic signature.
Perhaps you could use your powers to communicate with the creature.
I'm still getting his drool off my face. I don't want him anywhere near my brain.
Pardon me. But I believe we might be able to help one another.
Okay.
Okay, am I the only one who heard that?
You talk? Dogs don't talk!
Perhaps not on your planet, my dear fellow. Now, if you'll agree to release me, I would be happy to help you locate my odious former master. After I escaped his ship, he pursued me here and mistakenly captured another green dog. Your Beast Boy, I presume?
And you didn't tell us this earlier because...
I was having too much fun.
Also, the dog, like, that part, it suddenly just gave me, like, Thing flashbacks.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
But just
horrible
less.
Alien dog that doesn't keep its shape properly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This was an episode that somebody finally talked about Beast Boy being green. Like, he sees the girls and they're checking out this dog, and he's like, "Oh, I'll be a dog." So he transforms into a dog that's green. And the girls are like, "What's wrong with that dog? It smells like tofu."
No, it smelled like pizza.
Oh, it smells like pizza. And why is it green? This is the first time that somebody mentions Beast Boy being green.
Yes. Well, he's never tried to disguise himself as a normal animal before either.
Yeah. He can definitely get away as being like a reptile or a lizard of some kind. But not like a mammal, like a dog.
No lizard's that green. Well, maybe like two.
Yeah. Huh.
It's interesting. He can have patterns when he shapeshifts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the dog he was had spots, mm-hmm. So that means he can, like, have different greens.
Like, green to black, pretty much.
You think he can change into different breeds of dogs, or that's just the dog he changes into?
I'm willing to bet $100 he can change into any breed of dog.
Okay.
I mean, that just seems... Yeah. I mean, he can transform into Sasquatch... I think that was proven in the next episode that he can do that. So it's like, I don't think it's that big of a stretch if he can transform into any dog breed.
Yeah, okay. Can he turn into a Neanderthal?
Ooh. That would raise some interesting controversies. One other thing I want to talk about is that Beast Boy tries to escape by transforming into different animals to get the collar off. It's not working. The ship is taking off. Why doesn't Beast Boy just transform into a giant whale? Or a dinosaur of some kind?
He might have been worried he'd get squished.
Yeah. That's probably true. But it just seems like he's not doing anything he can within his power to slow down the...
He tried small, he tried big, the collar was still on him.
Yeah. It's just one hell of a collar.
Yeah. Like, it was supposed to keep an amorphous blob in place, so.
That makes sense.
Alright, that's it for that episode. It was okay.
It was okay.
Tara!
Yeah! This is her arc. And yep. This is the first episode she was introduced.
Alright, so this hurts to rewatch.
Kinda does.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Knowing that she's going to betray them.
Yeah, but at least she's not, like, evil?
Not using them at this point. In the comic, she is evil. And she does use them from the beginning. So I really want to know if there were any people who were fans of the comics that read that. I mean, that watched that and are like, "Oh, I know she's up to no good." I think she, like, slept with Slade, too, in the comics.
Ew.
I know, right?
Ew. Gross. That's gross.
It's gross.
Yeah. Let's not talk about that.
Okay. Anyway, we got a big, skinny, big blue-eyed Tara running in on the scene.
God damn, is she so skinny.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. She looks like a stick figure.
Well, it doesn't help that they give her, like, I think boots and gloves that really accentuate that. Because all the characters are pretty skinny. But it shows up extra on Tara somehow.
I don't know. I think Raven and Starfire at least have some meat on their bones.
I'll check, but, well, I mean, she is starving, I guess. So they might have done that on purpose.
Yeah, she's kind of, interestingly, like, her character profile is different compared to the rest of them.
Yes. So, anyway, she's got earthbending powers.
Yeah.
She's an earthbender.
And one step above, pretty much, because she can actually float on the rocks and...
Oh yeah, why can't earthbenders do that?
I believe they need to be attached to the ground in order to, you know, feel the earth's surface.
Oh, it's a chi thing.
Yeah, they need to be connected. And
okay.
Tara, she can just straight up levitate herself and do whatever. Her powers are pretty OP, in all honesty.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the idea.
Yeah.
That's why she can take out the whole Titans in a later episode. Anyway, so Tara, she defeats a big scorpion. The Titans are all very impressed. Beast Boy's in love. Robin and Raven are kind of cynical.
Yeah, they're doubtful.
Yes.
But like, that's kind of in character.
I mean, they're not like, it's not that they distrust her. They're just like, oh, she's on the run. That's one bad, and two, why? And they're kind of the designated adults for the episode, because they're also the ones, like, controlling the obstacle course later. And
This episode
kind of puts Raven in, like, almost a second command position.
Yeah. More of a, like, a...
Which seems to switch between Raven and Cyborg, depending on the episode.
Yeah. It kind of almost... She's more of, like, the logical, like, let's take a look and not... Yes. Put emotions.
Yeah, I'd say Cyborg's like the
heart.
Cyborg's the second in command for fighting, whereas Raven's the second in command for like everything else.
I still like mine, like Cyborg's heart.
No, we just established that Starfire is heart.
Oh, that's true. Never mind.
Come on.
It's Cyborg's stomach. It's his trust in his gut feeling.
That works on multiple levels. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, awesome.
You're the stomach of the team, Cyborg.
Booyah! She has self-esteem issues.
Yes. Well, also some serious past trauma.
Yes, which they do not get into, which is probably
for
the best.
They kind of get into it. Like
parental trouble, was it?
No. Slade said.
What was it?
She killed a whole bunch of people by creating natural disasters, and then they all turn against her.
Oh, that's right.
They did not say she actually killed people, but when you're creating earthquakes and mudslides, probably not ending well for somebody. Burn the witch.
Yay. She has great chemistry with Beast Boy, too.
It's alright.
I think they kind of really help. I honestly like it. It just bounces off of each other, and it's I think it's pretty good.
No, they
good.
Are very cute together. I feel a little cheated that it doesn't develop.
Yeah.
And also part of it is when Beast Boy likes someone before, he just totally bombs.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of bombs several times.
Yeah,
but Tara thinks he's
funny.
Yeah, but he kind of recovers and he's becoming more relaxed as the episode progresses.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a nice natural...
Yeah, I guess
development,
so.
Which was what makes that ending stronger to me, because that's where Tara like loses control of her powers. Everything's going nuts in the cave, and Beast Boy calms her down.
Oh yeah,
and it's very similar.
Does that what TV Trips refers to as a cool down hug?
Mm. Well, I was about to say it's similar to when
Avatar.
Katara. Comes Aang when Aang lost his bison.
Yeah.
So it's very like.
And also his cool.
So, like, yes. So you kind of, when you develop that to that point, I think when you get from point A to point B in the span of one episode, I feel like it's not cheated or forced or.
And I bet Beast Boy gives really good hugs too, because they'd be all warm and fuzzy.
Yes. Or scaly. Or slimy.
Doesn't he have, like, fur? He has fur.
Does he?
In this show, he definitely does, because Cyborg, like, put red hair dye in his shampoo that one time.
Ah, yeah, you're right. That's funny.
Yeah. You have to shampoo his whole body.
It just ran all throughout. Yeah, oh, God. Yeah.
You're picturing it.
Okay, anyway. This is totally random. The Teen Titans don't seem to have a guest bedroom. Seems like to me that the Teen Titans basically have bedrooms, a living room, a kitchen which blends into the living room, training room. That's it.
Yeah. I guess the garage?
Oh, they do have a garage. You're right. Yeah.
In the lobby.
Okay, so it's like...
It's still a whole tower. What's the rest of it doing?
Yeah. Well,
why don't they each have their own floor?
It's a storage space.
I guess, for Wayne Tech.
Or all the items.
We know Wayne's financing this.
Yes.
Oh, God, he must have been so disappointed when, like, the Teen Titans didn't work, and he's like, well, that was a waste of me.
I sunk so much money into this, Robin.
Nah, I'm just kidding. I found that, like, under my couch. Some loose Wayne change.
Rock on! It's cool to meet you guys. I'm Tara, and you're Cyborg, Raven, Starfire, and...
Boy Beast! Bass Boot! No!
Beast Boy? Dude, he's hilarious!
Hilarious? Me? Really?
Curiosity abounds! Please!
Slade was really creepy, as usual.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's... I have a double standard, or they made it extra icky. Because it makes me way more uncomfortable. And
It's a girl? Right. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. Like, this is the same behavior he exhibited towards Robin.
Yeah. I mean, there's also the fact that she is extremely vulnerable. Like, Robin's always been...
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's
that might
point.
Tie into part of it. It's also, like, we see this nice girl who's being given a chance with the Titans, and then there's this asshole that's ruining it all.
Yeah.
But I think it is partly double standard, too, on my part.
Yeah. I was very freaked out by the whole thing in general. Just how it is.
Yeah, Slade's whole thing is telling her that she screwed up once, she's going to screw up again. And the Titans will turn against her like everyone else did, et cetera, et cetera. He makes Tara angry, which makes her lose control of her powers, because he's a huge dick. Yeah. He also does, like, something like, we should have a chat, and then tries to punch her. I did write an actual, I think I quoted that. Right, okay, I didn't actually quote that, but talk means duke it out in Slade speak.
Yeah. He's more of a...
Oh, also, action. He also, like, calls her little girl and child, which definitely ups the ick factor.
Yeah.
Robin was always Robin.
Yeah.
Tara gets...
I think he's feeding into her... He's playing into her self-esteem.
Yeah.
And making her realize how powerless she is.
Yes.
And trying to win her over that
way. She's not. She's really strong.
She's really strong in the real way.
Yes.
Was there anything else we wanted to talk about for that episode?
Okay. We mentioned it already, but Beast Boy turns into Sasquatch.
Yes.
Not a gorilla.
Sasquatch. Straight up Sasquatch.
So he's real.
Yep.
Confirmed.
Real. Yep.
Bigfoot confirmed.
Yep. Pretty nice. Yep. Pretty amazing.
Let me check my notes. Oh, the music was really great in
this. The music was pretty good in this one. I agree.
Yeah, Tara seems to have her own almost Western style, like, little ditty. Leitmotif, I guess. Not quite. The episode ends with Tara... admitted she couldn't control her power fully. She tells Beast Boy.
Yeah. And then
Swears him to secrecy.
Yeah.
Robin figures it out, and Tara thinks Beast Boy told her.
Yeah.
And it's like, he didn't betray you, you're just an idiot.
Yeah. And Robin's like, I didn't know, I shouldn't have said anything. And I'm like, you're damn right, Robin.
I don't think Robin was in the wrong here. Like, obviously she was insecure about it, and he might have felt like a dick, but I don't think he could have anticipated her running away.
Yeah.
But maybe he should have talked to her, like, alone. I don't know. He doesn't have superpowers himself, so he probably doesn't fully understand.
That's a good point.
So. That's an interesting thing to think about, like somebody like Robin having to be sensitive to somebody's superpowers.
Hmm.
Like, the DC universe is kind of different about that.
Yes.
It's not like Marvel where it's all an allegory.
Mm-hmm.
Do they actually, like, have a name for that in DC? Because they have mutants in Marvel, where it's just somebody's born that way.
I don't know.
DC likes people to get mutated, like, later in life.
Yeah.
It's some big event that gives everybody powers in one area.
Yeah. I'm not very familiar with it, in all honesty.
Yeah.
I mean, I know DC, but I don't... There's not... The Static Shock might be the only one that comes to mind for that kind of...
Yeah. Yeah, but you know that, like, the origin of the Captain Marvel? Like, Miss Marvel, sorry?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was because there was this thing, and it gave a bunch of people power. That's, like, really common in DC, that there's some random thing that gives people powers for, so we can get a new one each week.
That's right, you're right, yeah.
Then we have lots of chemistry and atom bomb accidents.
Yeah.
And then aliens. You can get powers from aliens.
Yeah, like Beetleborg. Or Blue Beetle. wrong one.
You didn't even watch that show.
Nope, I did not.
Yeah.
Alright, should we wrap it up then?
Yeah, anyway, this ends with Tara running away, but we know she'll be back.
Yeah, she should be back in the middle of the season, too.
Yeah. It looks like she's in more episodes than I remember, but we'll see. We only are going off the titles at this point.
Yeah, like, I know she shows up later, so we'll see.
What's up? What the next episode is?
Which one?
One of my favorites, Fear Itself.
Oh, yeah. You keep talking about this. Then after this, you'll have no more interest in our podcast anymore.
It's like I will retire. It's all
downhill from here. Nice.
I only started this podcast so I could talk about that episode.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So let's go over the three episodes. Which of these... Ooh, excuse me. Which of these did you think was the best episode of the three?
Tara.
Yeah, Tara. I kind of say it in like a matter of elimination.
Yeah.
Not like it stands out. Because... How Long Is Forever is all right. It's just pretty heavy.
And depressing, and we don't really want to think about all the Titans, like, abandoning each other and going bald.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would agree with Tara. Definitely setting itself up. Good character interactions for the most part.
Yeah. It's got some good action, too, which is always nice. Mm-hmm. Like, they try to have action in every episode, but Tara definitely, like, went above and beyond.
All right. I think I know the answer to this one. What's the weakest episode of the three?
I don't know. Crappy time travel does kind of...
Not every dog has its day?
Now it's every dog has its day.
Yeah, that is just...
Yeah, it didn't give us really... We didn't get a new takeaway from it about any of the characters.
Beast Boy was just...
Yeah. We didn't talk about it, but, like, at the very end of the episode, Beast Boy's like, yeah, I want to be alone. Because he's traumatized from being electrocuted and almost being taken off of Earth.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah, not a very fun episode. It's just, like, there's nothing really new, like you said, to take away from this.
The chasing the dog around was pretty fun, though.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, surprisingly, the scenes without Beast Boy were the stronger ones here.
Yeah, which is rough.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, I'm tired of time travel.
Yes. Wait, just for that one episode?
Oh, yeah, and we also watched the Godzilla...
Oh, Godzilla versus King Ghidorah. Yeah.
If you're going to do a time travel episode or movie, you gotta write down some constant rules. Like, okay, what theory of time am I going to use? And then...
Yeah, King Ghidorah...
Like, draw a map while you're doing it.
Yeah. King Ghidorah, they were playing hard, fast Calvin ball, as the Griffin brothers would say. But that's for another episode.
Like, going into other bedtime travel, meet the Robinsons.
Yeah.
At least, you know, Back to the Future had tried to explain itself in some ways. Mm-hmm. Like, how time rewrites itself once you do something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're not here to judge time travel for...
Yeah. Maybe we'll do that, another episode. All right, sounds good. All right, so we're going to So I think we'll end it there. We'll continue on like we usually do for the next three episodes. I don't have them written down, but one of them is Fear Itself. So that's going to be a great Raven episode that I myself am looking forward to, which will also have Control Freak in it as well.
What?
Yeah.
Fear Itself doesn't have Control Freak.
Yeah, this is the movie one, right?
No.
Yes.
No.
Because doesn't Control Freak...
No. Control Freak has nothing to do with this.
It's in the... He's in the episode, though.
He is not.
I thought his control is. Like, there's a monster that they watch the movie of when they're
okay,
at the video rental store.
Hush. You'll see. Okay.
Am I thinking of a different
episode? I think you're combining episodes.
Oh. Is this a Raven episode?
It is a Raven episode.
Okay, folks. We're going to end it right here.
Probably a little earlier than that.
Because I apparently don't know anything what I'm doing. That's
why we're
rewatching these. Alright, you guys have a good night and
have a geeky night.
Yep. Oh, and if you're listening, give us a shout out. I guess rate us on iTunes and
let us know we're not shouting into a void.
Yes. Write a review.
But be nice about it. We're doing our best. We can't look things up.
We have no internet. As usual. But yes, that'd be really nice. Spread the word about this show since we are still getting started on it. Still pretty amateurish as it is, but we've been having a fun time doing this. And if there's any suggestions that you think we should do after Teen Titans, just let us know. All right. Bye.
Oh, bye.